Today's reading is Psalm 119, verses 49 to 64. And if you're following in the church Bibles, it's page 513. I'll just give you a moment to find it. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion, I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favour with all my heart, be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you, because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes.
John, thank you very much for reading for us, and thank you, Ash, for praying. And thank you, Rachel, for praying as well. And where's Rachel? Oh, Rachel there. Thank you especially for praying about our doubts and our unbeliefs and picking up a prayer of a man in the Bible. Help me with my unbelief. Good to pray that, isn't it, when we feel discouraged or we feel the Lord hasn't been answering our prayers and we want to come and bring that to him openly. To get us engaging with this part of Psalm 119, and do keep your Bible open where John just read from, so you can follow along in the verses with me. Just to get our minds and our hearts considering this passage and helping us to understand it, and particularly in applying it to ourselves, I wonder if you would be willing just to think and then talk to the person next to you in a way that you may well have been asked to do something like this before, okay? Imagine you've got to leave home very quickly indeed, and you can only take one object with you, an object, okay? You've got your passport, that's okay. The people you're with in your family, they're okay. Your photos, you've got them, they're okay. Pounds, you've got money with you, that's all okay, all right? Your phone, you got that with you. It's all okay. A whole load of things that begin with P, you've got. All right? You're all okay. So those things are excluded. They're already out there with you. You're heading out. What is it, one object, that kind of like is you? It's precious to you. Means something to you. Something about your identity. It's got memories. It's a comfort to you. It reminds you of a part of your life that was significant for you. And you're not going to leave without that. You grab that and you leave with it. What object would that be and why? Have a moment to think and then just talk to the person next to you. You might struggle and you might think, I'm just not that sentimental, all right? That's okay. You know, you're all right. Just leave with yourself, all right? That's okay. But others of us that might have things like that in our lives, do share and do talk about them. I've made it inclusive for everybody, okay? Have a little conversation with those next to you. Great, do come back and pay attention to the front again. We'll come back to that in a moment. The kind of emotions that go on and in what you've just been talking about, I think illustrates well this part of the psalm, okay? Like I said, we'll come back to that in just a moment. I want to make a connection with this part of Psalm 119, that is just the theme of feeling like an outsider. feeling like an outsider. As a Christian living in the UK today, it can sometimes feel like you don't fit in. People might think badly of you for what you believe, for example, colleagues at work or other people at school, especially if you talk about Jesus or say that you think the Bible is true. It can become quite surprising, the reaction we get, especially if you thought that the UK was a Christian country, and that's partly why you came, to find a safe place to live and bring up your family and be and work, because it wasn't safe for Christians where you were, and you come to Britain thinking that it will be a safe Christian country, and you discovered it's not quite as safe as you had hoped for Christians. Many people in the UK today think that Christian beliefs are old-fashioned and even offensive. Well, what's going on in this psalm? Psalm 119 was written by someone who is going through a really hard time. And that becomes very clear in the two sections that John read for us. I'm going to call in the poet, or I'm going to call in the singer-songwriter, but he was feeling real sad. And not just sad, he was hurting very deeply indeed. He felt alone. He felt isolated. But through all of it, he held tightly to God's word. Perhaps like someone clinging to, you know, a life jacket in a storm, you know, you're in a sea and you cling to anything to stay afloat. That's a little bit how this part of the psalm reads. Someone clinging on for security, and they're clinging on to God's word. That's the first of the two points that I want to draw to our attention today, the two different sections, the two stanzas, as we'd call them. So the first thing is holding on to God's word. That's verses 49 to 56. Here's what the poet is facing. Look at the verses with me in the Bible you've got in your hand. First of all, he is being made fun of. People are laughing at him. Verse 51, he says, the insolent, that is the proud, arrogant people around him, utterly deride me. That is, they mock me. They mock me without mercy. Secondly, he feels like he doesn't belong. Do you see that? Look in verse 54. He talks about being a sojourner. That is, someone who is a stranger in a foreign land, and they are a long, long way from home. A sojourner, separated, far away, and feeling like you don't belong. So people are laughing at him. He doesn't feel like he belongs. And lastly, he sees people ignoring God's laws around him, and that really upsets him. Look at verse 53. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. He sees people around him disobeying God, doing what they want, and he really feels it. He takes it to heart when he sees other people rejecting God and rejecting God's ways. So he's been laughed at. He doesn't feel like he belongs. And it hurts deeply in his heart when he sees other people ignoring God. It upsets him. And you can feel like that too. We all can. You may have been laughed at yourself for being a Christian. When my wife Tanya became a Christian, she headed home to her family. And one of the things that a member of her family said to her was, you've gone and spoilt yourself. There are people you love deeply, people you respect. You go home and you don't feel like you belong anymore. You ruined your life. You're holier than us. You now think you're better than us. No, it's not what I said. It's not what I think. You may well feel or felt that church, belonging to church, or your faith doesn't really fit in to today's world. And I think a lot of folks will feel that regularly in their place of work, or at school, or at uni. And you may have felt very sad or even angry when people treat bad things as though they are good things. That can really hurt, can't it? We see our society evolving and developing in a direction which does really cause us concern. I mean, there was a week in our country, not long ago, where our government signed off for allowing the most vulnerable people in our society to die, to be killed. The most aged and those that aren't yet born. And if we didn't go, it's wrong, in our heart somewhere, we're a little bit mad, aren't we? Didn't you feel it? Feel like we don't belong. Feel sad and angry when we live in a culture where things that are not good are treated as though they are good. So where's the hope for us? There is hope with this psalm. Even in the pain, the singer-songwriter finds hope and comfort in God and in God's promises. And that's what we need to do too. He holds on to God's word. Look with me at verses 49 and 50. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises gives me life. He turns to God's word and he finds comfort. And he finds life and he finds hope. And he's not just remembering the Bible. He actually asks God to remember the promises that God has made to him. And he asks God to keep them in prayer. And that may well have been the psalm with David, if it was him, expressing, Lord, you promised that someone from my family would be on your throne forever. Well, Lord, would you keep that promise? Keep your promise to me and to my household and to my family. Ultimately, God does keep all of his promises. And ultimately, and wonderfully, and perfectly, he does so in and through Jesus. This psalm was written a long time before Jesus, but it points to Jesus in every sentence, every line. And we could have a whole sermon just on that. But I'm just going to pick out a few, all right? Verse 49, he talks about himself as your servant, God's servant. And here he is, suffering as God's servant. And that should lead us to go, I know about that. I've heard about that. The suffering servant, also spoken about very clearly in Isaiah 53. That's Jesus. It is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the suffering servant who suffered for us. He knows what it is to be isolated, to feel like he doesn't belong, to be hated for obeying God's word. Verse 50 says, your promise gives me life. Wow, goodness me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said that to a grieving woman. Brother had died. And he proved that he could keep that and that he was the fulfillment of it by rising again from the dead himself. Every wonderful line in this song speaks of Jesus. The Bible calls Jesus the Word made flesh. God's Word made flesh, as John chapter 1, verse 14. In other words, Jesus is the living, breathing, message of God. So when we are going through tough times, we're not alone. Jesus went through pain too. Even on the cross, he remembered God's word. He suffered, died, and rose again to bring us hope and to bring us life. So what should we do? Well, there are all sorts of things in life that we will cling to rather than God. When things get difficult, we'll want all sorts of other things sorted out. And there's a sense of there might be something just coming to your mind or on your heart now that you know you need to turn away from. You know, if we're going to hold on and cling to God's word, we've got to let go of this to hold on to him, to hold on to his word, to recenter our hearts on his word, especially on Jesus, who is the word of God. So today, why don't you make Psalm 119 an encouragement to your hearts? You might feel like a stranger in the world, but God has not forgotten you. He gives you strength, even when things are dark and desperate and difficult. And his promises never fail. They do come true in Jesus. So I want to take you back to whatever it was that if you had to leave home in a hurry, you would take with you. That precious item, that thing that may not have a financial value, but precious to your heart because of its meaning. You know, if you were going to lose absolutely everything, but your passport and, you know, your family, and something that is you and you've got to cling on to and hold because it's meaningful to you, that's what this psalm is saying. That emotion that you have over that thing, that object, have that same heart with God's word. Hold on to that. He will sustain you. His promises will keep you. For me, my item would be this photograph. I've had it for 54 years. And it hangs up in our living room. I was given it for my 7th birthday by the photographer, who is a great photographer in Kenya at the moment. His name's David. He happened to live by where I was living on the equator at the time. Me and my family went round to his place, and his family's on my birthday, my 7th birthday. He took me into the dark room, my younger sister, and he showed me how he took photos and how he developed them. And at the end, he gave me this. And I've got a book of all his photos, and this one ain't in it. I think this is unique. And it's been everywhere where I've been. I've been all sorts of different places. And this has always been there. It kind of like roots me in my family and where I'm from and who I belong to. It does all those things for me. So that's what I'd take. That's what I'd grip onto and hold on to. And it's just about, you know, easy because it fits in the bag. It's not too big. What this psalm is saying is, do that with God's word. Take God with you. Hold on to his promises. That's where you get your identity. That's where you get your comfort. That's your reassurance. Him and his word. And he'll always keep his word to you. So, clinging on, holding on to God's word. The second thing I want to draw out from these two sections of the psalm today is living by God's word. Holding on to God's word, living by God's word. What's going on in the next part of the psalm? Well, the singer-songwriter starts responding to God's word. Having said, I'm going to hold on to it, he then says, I'm actually going to live it. Not just to remember it, I'm going to live out what God says. God's going to shape my life. And I'm happy about that. I'm going to choose for God to shape my life. So just look through what he does. Verse 59, he checks himself just as a little personal review. When I think of my way, so he considers his life, He thinks about his pathway in life. When I think of my ways, you know, and I'm thinking of my ways right now, I turn my feet to your testimonies. When I think about my life, I think the way of traveling, you know what? I choose right now to live my life in your ways. He checks himself, reviews, and says, no, I'm doing it God's ways. Second, he chooses and wants to obey God's word quickly with a bit of speed about him. He's not hesitating over it, not saying, oh, you know, when things work out a little bit better, then I will obey God. No, I'm going to do it right now. Verse 60, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. And thirdly, he decides to keep going, even if it's hard. Even if it's difficult. Rachel prayed with that in mind earlier on. Even when life gets hard, to keep following. Verse 61 says, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. He knows that some people are going to be unhappy with him living by God's law. He knows that's going to be the case. And he says, you know what? I'm going for it anyway. I am the Lord's and I'm going to live by his word. And he says in verse 62 that he gets up in the middle of the night to worship God. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. And lastly, verse 63, he knows he's not alone. Verse 63, that's a great verse for us as we gather as church. It's what we're doing right now. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. He knows he's on his own, on his own. I get to my discipleship group, get to the youth and children's program, I get to the students' ministry, get to Aleph group, get to my Bible study, come to church. I want to be with the family of other people because it is isolating out there. It is difficult out there. But the Lord's given us each other. We're walking in the same direction. Yeah, we'll disagree on some things, but the main things, no. We agree. He's our Lord. He's your Father. He's my Father. Jesus is your Saviour, my Saviour. As Ash began the service, he's talking about the Holy Spirit being there in us all. We share God's Spirit. We know his word. We can encourage each other to keep going together with God's word. So how does this relate to us, this section? Today, lots of people say things like, follow your own heart, or be true to yourself, or do whatever feels right. But the singer-songwriter of Psalm 119 shows a different way. Instead of doing whatever he wants, he tells God, I want to follow your way. I trust you, Lord, and I trust your word more than I trust myself and my opinions. I trust you. And he's not trying to impress everyone. He's living for God even when it's not easy. He also knows how important it is, as I've said, to stick with other believers, people who, like him, also follow in God's ways. People of the book, if I can put it that way. And he keeps pointing us towards Jesus. Verse 57, you are my portion, Lord, he says in verse 57. And that is basically saying, Lord, you are all I need. You are my portion. I don't need anything else. You are everything that I need. And that reminds us of the verse that I quoted earlier on. Jesus saying to Mary, the grieving woman, his friend, he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He basically says to her, I am enough for you. I'm more than enough for you. Even in the hardest times, I am the resurrection and I am the life. So what should we do? Again, let's keep Psalm 119 close. Let's allow it to warm our hearts. In verse 62, he says, he gets up in the night to praise God. That's not because he has to, it's because he wants to. He wants to. He's excited by God. He's excited by how good God is and how right God is and how wonderful God is. And in verse 64, he says, teach me your ways. And that's a great place to be. Not because we want to know everything, but because we want to know more of God. We actually want more of God. And that's how God grows our hearts. That's how God revives churches. Not by us knowing more stuff, but by us wanting to know him more. Through his word, by his spirit. Let me draw to a conclusion. This world isn't your home. It's not mine. And sometimes life is hard. But God has given us his word, full of truth and hope and comfort. And ultimately he's given us his word, Jesus, the living word, the one who brings and gives us life. And he's given us each other as well. And so with that in mind, we are able to be those who say, yeah, let's keep holding on to his word. Let's keep walking in his ways. And may our hearts be filled with his joy and with his strength, the strength that comes from his word being engraved on our hearts and on our souls. Let's spend a moment of quiet. And in a moment of quiet, pray that God's Holy Spirit takes God's word and writes it onto your soul and into your inner being so that you become increasingly a person who loves and hungers for the word and hungers for the living word, Jesus. So a moment of quiet to pray in our own way.